Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
The issue around aid is obviously a very significant one and a fairly contentious one, since the UN aid group hits out at Israeli plans for resuming Gaza aid distribution. Humanitarian workers claim it would be terrifying to work directly with IDF to disperse aids, as Israel considers enlisting private security contractors to hand out food in Gaza. When I was in Israel last week, one of the questions we asked was, is this common? Is it common that a country is at war with another and then just hands the enemy all of the aid to distribute? And obviously it isn't, but and clearly it is deeply problematic, but there are also dangers inherent in it. In other words, if you give it places IDF soldiers at risk, it places many people at risk. Well, Anne Hertzberg is a legal advisor of NGO Monitor. She's an expert in lawfare. She joins us this morning. Good morning, how are you?
Good morning.
This whole issue around aid, I thought firstly that there wasn't going to be aid coming into Gaza at this point. Has this changed?
Well, I think what's happening is there has been international pressure placed on Israel, because for the past couple months, Israel has stopped allowing aid into the territory. I think also at the time, there were quite a bit of stocks of aid. I believe there still is, based on what we see in terms of video footage. But it could be also that the IDF thinks that perhaps now the stocks are running low, and now they, for humanitarian reasons, will allow food and water, that type of thing, to enter the strip. But again, the real issue is, what is the international community going to do about the humanitarian aid diversion by Hamas?
Right.
And the actors involved do not want to deal with this question. The aid organizations, the UN, they are willing participants in the Hamas aid diversion. And that's the real issue that no one wants to deal with.
And we do know this. It's not as though this is speculation. It is now absolutely clear that this is a very real concern.
Absolutely. And we even have, this preposterous claim that they're afraid to work with the IDF. It's completely preposterous. The only people that are afraid to work with the IDF are Hamas members, which tells you everything you need to know about how the international aid apparatus right now is operating in Gaza. It's obviously completely infiltrated by Hamas, because why would an international aid organization be afraid? That's insane and ridiculous. And the other thing is, these groups are responsible for the mess we're in today, because for the past, 17 years, they looked the other way while Hamas was diverting the aid to build up their military. And that is the problem. They do not want to take any responsibility or accountability for their role in what has happened leading up to October 7th and what has happened since. They think they are not bound by any rules, and they think they are untouchable. And this is just the latest installment in that.
Has there been any further comments or response to the fact that we know that one of the tunnels was fully supplied by, with electricity? It was really built directly underneath a major UNRWA facility. Has there been any further comments about these things?
No, and that's exactly it. What do UN UNRWA officials go, they cry on social media, oh, disinformation, we're being defamed. They've never accepted responsibility. Either they deny it's true, which everyone with their eyes can see is a lie, or they claim, oh, we knew nothing about it. It's like the monkeys with their hands over the eyes, mouth,
see no
and
evil.
Ears.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so that's their two positions. But they're unwilling to make any changes. And I think then the next question is, why is the international community continuing to double down, as we saw at the ICJ last week, the International Court of Justice, doubling down to continue to give this agency billions of dollars? They're clearly not capable of administering it in a proper way. and they are committed to continuing the conflict. And it is beyond belief to me, and it's insane. I mean, I find it insanity that countries like the UK, like France, like Canada, like Australia, are that are the biggest funders of this organization, are unwilling to wrestle with these questions. They just want it to be status quo. And we all saw what a disaster that is.
Well, there's been a very deliberate cognitive dissonance. They have completely ignored. They ignore whatever doesn't fit the narrative. The real question, I guess, is two questions. The first one is why, and then the next question is how. Is there even a way to change it? Because if you don't want to see it, you simply won't.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the main thing I think right now is why. Yes, they want to help Palestinians. Obviously, that's a big concern. But there are ways to do it where you don't have to work with an agency that's completely corrupted by a terrorist organization that murders and rapes and takes hostage. If that's the only option available, that's unacceptable. So helping Palestinians is not the entire answer. And that underlying part is what we don't know, and what these countries that are funding this group, we all know why UNRWA does what it does. UNRWA is mainly a political function. And when you see the UN officials and the Palestinians talk about UNRWA, they admit that. That's why they don't want UNRWA to go away, because they know UNRWA's primary function is a political function to maintain the conflict. What is inexplicable is why the countries funding UNRWA are continuing to do it. And that's the question that needs to be unpacked. And that I can't answer. Is it anti-Semitism? Is it hatred of Israel? Or is it all of the above? Is it because they're getting Qatari money? It's unknown. They like Iran? We don't know. But these are the types of things that they need to be pressured on.
What is likely to be the end result of this aid distribution? Do you expect to see Israel or private companies now taking this over?
I mean, I think that's the direction that the government is talking about. And I think that's right now what they see as a better solution. So probably there will be some sort of initiative along those lines. I don't know if there'll be involvement with some of the Gulf states, perhaps like the UAE or Saudi Arabia. I don't know. But it looks like it has to go in that direction, because as we know, the UN is incapable of doing the job. And there are some NGOs that are capable, but I think there are some NGOs that are not. So it looks like that is the direction we're headed in.
The problem with it is that it certainly is still going to require Israel on IDF to secure those facilities, which does place them at risk.
Yeah, and as an Israeli, and as a parent of lots of friends whose kids are in Gaza, unfortunately, right now, serving, it's a nightmare. We don't want to be involved in this, putting them at risk to do this, which is unheard of anywhere in any other conflict. But unfortunately, we're stuck in this insane situation where the international community is incapable of carrying out its role.
Disinterested. Yeah. So there really doesn't seem to be much of an alternative then.
Unfortunately, because for some reason, the international community, although they claim they don't want Hamas to stay in power, is doing everything they can to maintain that. And we see that in other conflicts. We've seen that for years in other conflicts. We saw that in Ukraine. They're rightfully supporting Ukraine against Russia, but they're not giving Ukraine everything it needs to defeat Russia. So it's a lot of talk, but not a lot of action to actually achieve the objectives that they want to achieve. And I think this is a perennial problem in the international community, not just in our conflict.
Anne Hertzberg, thank you as always. Anne is the legal advisor of NGO Monitor, expert in lawfare. We've been speaking about humanitarian aid. What do you think? What do you think the solution is? Should Israel be taking over the distribution of aid? Should it simply hand it to UNRWA until this conflict is done and dusted? Or should it do nothing at all in terms of aid into that region? 061-8951-019, that is our WhatsApp line. I would love to hear your thoughts.